All right, so we've been talking about the fight. We've been talking about the fight. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Say fight. The good fight of faith. So that's what we've been talking about. So last week we talked about some Fruit Loops. Y'all remember? The Fruit Loops and Helen, we talked about the river, you know, they were all floating down. They looked like Fruit Loops. Just a reminder about that. Yeah, that was great. So, and the idea is that we're not people that just float down the stream of life, right? We're people who fight the good fight. 1 Timothy, well, let's just go to the scripture. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold. Everybody say, take hold.
Take hold.
No, man, say it like him. Come on, guys. Say it like him. Say, take hold.
Take hold.
I don't like it. Yes. Take hold of eternal life for which you were called. You are called to eternal life. Isn't that interesting? About which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we talked last week about fighting, not just any fight, the good fight of faith. And we talked about the word take hold. It means it's an active, aggressive lay hold of, right? It's not something that we just take lightly. And what are we taking hold of? The life that God has for us. Amen. He says that, what's that scripture? It says that nobody on this earth, they asked Jesus about, the disciples were asking Jesus about, well, what do we get for all this stuff? We've left everything to follow you, right? And Jesus makes this comment. He goes, no one that has left, he's left families, houses, places, homes, that none of the people that ever have left those things will not receive, right? That receive that back in this life and the life to come. So God has something for us in this life. It's not all about eternal life, right? It's not all about on the other side of the grave. It is also now, right? God has life for you, a way to live. So, and we said this hard truth last week. The hard truth was on this side of eternity, the life God has for us does not come unopposed. So we're going to have to lay, I don't know if you've noticed that. Anybody noticed that? That the life that God has, I mean, nobody is like running around just giving you money to pay for to help your kids. Nobody is running around just handing out money to pay for colleges. Amen. Nobody is out running around I mean, it comes opposed. Amen. So today, I want to talk about marshmallows. 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 So in 1960, this is interesting, 1960, a guy conducted an experiment at Stanford University, and it's called the Marshmallow Experiment. And some of y'all, whenever I start telling this, you'll know what I'm talking about. This experience involved the testing of a group of four-year-olds. Each was offered a marshmallow and promised another one only if they could wait 20 minutes before eating the first one. The children reacted differently. Some gobbled it down, the lone marshmallow, immediately. Others kept looking at the marshmallow, smelling it, or even touching it. And I remember, I remember Jessica Drinkwater, she actually did this with her son and your niece, right? And actually, it was fantastic. It was just like, it was hilarious. It happened just like you would want it, right? So they put the marshmallow and this is, how many of y'all remember this? Have y'all seen the videos? It happened like about 8 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever. They actually had a bunch of videos about that. And but they sat down, and it was so fun to watch these kids sit there and like look at this marshmallow. Like, it was like the greatest thing ever. One of my favorites was a couple of them. They would and bite a little bit, right? Bite just a little bit off. Maybe they wouldn't notice. Maybe mom wouldn't notice when they came back in. One went so far that she like chewed the whole thing out. It looked like an apple core by the time she was done with it. And so it was the marshmallow test. It was a test of patience and a test of waiting for something. What's that? Delayed gratification. It was delayed gratification. So here, there's a marshmallow for somebody. And then it went on the ground. I have a whole bag, so I could actually throw out marshmallows. But these are the nice big ones. Those are the nice big ones. So the marshmallows, I wanted it big so everybody can see it. So the marshmallow test, right? So this is so human nature, isn't it? It's just so human nature that I want what I want, and I don't want to have to struggle for it. I just want it, and I want it now, right? We said last week that there are three enemies, not just one enemy, that we struggle against, that our fight is with. You know, we always want to talk about, well, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, right? We always quote that scripture, and we talk about how it's the devil. It's like, we're going to fight the devil, right? And it's all we get, all, especially this old-time charismatic. Boy, the devil show up, let's get him. You know, we're like, somebody asked that charismatic one time and said, well, do you believe that the devil's behind everything, like behind, like every bush? He goes, he's not behind the bush. He's not only behind the bush, he's in front of the bush, he's on the side of the bush. Sometimes he is the bush. But how many of you know that is not the only fight that we fight? So this morning may get a little uncomfortable. But we've been getting uncomfortable as of late, haven't we? We're going to dive into this fight of the flesh. The flesh monster. So in order to talk about the flesh, and we need to go ahead and kind of dive into what that all looks like. What is my flesh? What does that all look like? Do I not like my skin? Like, what is that all about? What is the fighting against the flesh? 2 Corinthians 5:17, we'll go there. And I allude to a lot of these things. And I just, I was thinking about as I studied. And, you know, and if you've heard me teach for a while, what I'm going to teach is not new. But actually what I want to do is dive into it a little bit more and explain what I mean by some of the words that I use. Amen? So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, because we shouldn't assume anything. It says this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writing, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, a new has come. So Paul says, that when I became in Christ, what does that mean to be in Christ? To be in Christ is to say, I received Jesus, right, as my sin bearer. I received Jesus as my life. I choose him. I decide that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and I will follow him, right? I make that decision, and I receive him. The scripture, Jesus says, he says, unless a man be born again, right? He cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That born again, that is a new creation. Jesus is talking about before he even happens, right? He's talking about this thing that now on this side of the cross and on this side of the resurrection, we understand that to be in Christ is to have that, quote unquote, born again experience, right? That I was once one way, but now I am in another. Actually, it was an interesting prophecy back in Ezekiel about this, and it says this in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. We'll start there. This is a prophetic word about what has now actually happened. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your old heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's actually a different kind of flesh than what we're actually talking, not to confuse it, right? And give you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you, and watch this, and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. Okay, so some quick theology real quick. So the idea is this. In the Old Testament, you have the law, right? You have the Ten Commandments and all of the other laws, right? Do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. Basically, he's saying, these are God's ways, right? These are the ways of God. And if you follow these ways, right, there'll be blessing for you and all of those other things, right? So follow these ways. And what what God was actually doing was he was going to display that there is no way that you're going to be able in your own ability to completely follow all these laws. There's no way that you're going to be able to completely walk and live in the statutes and what the ways God would have you to live. Paul says, and even Paul says that. He says what the law does, it actually rises in you that I am no good. I am the loser with a capital L when it goes to following God, right? Well, let me just say, that was the point. That's the point. There is no way that you could ever do all the things that you need to do to completely follow every statute and every way of God. It's not within us, right? So what happens, and really, it's because of this thing that we call the sin nature. It's the nature that drives. It's the idea that you never have to tell a child how to lie. There is no lying 101 for children. You ever thought about that? Rebellion wasn't taught to your kid. I mean, hopefully. little kids don't go into go, I'm going to how to have a temper tantrum 101 today. I'm sitting in my class, right? I'm going to sit in my class and figure out how to be selfish, right? I'm going to sit in my class and learn how to only think about myself and never other people. Like, that is not a thing, right? We come that way. Some of us are still that way. Many other churches. So what he's saying is, now that I have been born again, now what has happened is this amazing thing called the new birth. That the old things are gone, and behold, all things. Therefore, those who are in Christ are new creations. Brand new creations. That the old is gone and the new has come. Remember back in the garden where he said, if you eat of the tree, you'll die. Right? And then the devil comes around and goes, well, you won't really die. Right? Well, the truth is, you did. That I am now separated because of my sinful nature. I am separated from God. But through Christ, that now that I am in Christ, I have a new, God has given me a new spirit, just like what it says in Ezekiel. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That's the new birth. He said, I will place my spirit within you, verse 27, within you, and cause you to follow my statutes? That's not statues. We're not following statutes. We're statutes. That's called idols. We'll follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances, right? So God is going to do this thing. He's going to cause the new birth to come inside of you. This old man, as Paul says, has been crucified with Christ, and now this new nature has been risen within me. Now, do you know that part of you as a believer that says, I want to follow God. I want to do what's right. If that's not in you, we can talk about that later. But as a believer, there's something inside us as believers that causes us and makes us want to follow after God. Amen? Now, whether that all works out in your regular life, that's a different story. Right? I mean, how many of y'all did it 100% this week? Good, I'm in the right place. Me neither. But there's this new nature that's in us. We're on the same page, right? Now watch this. Romans chapter 7. Let's go there. Romans chapter 7. Actually, this is not on this. Let's clear that out for a second. I'm going to read this. So if you have your actual Bibles, you can follow with me. I'm actually in verse 15, and then we'll put that scripture up. It says, for I do not understand, I just wanted you to hear this. do not understand what I'm doing because I do not practice what I want to do. Oh, everybody breathe a sigh of relief. Like, that was Paul. Paul's like, me and you, Paul, we understand each other, right? Now, if I do what I don't want to do, I agree with the law that the law is good. So now I'm no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that nothing good's in me, watch this, that is in my flesh. So no good that living is me in me is in my flesh. For the desire to do good is within me, but there is no ability to do it. But then it says, and then he says this in verse 23, but I see a different law in my body, waging war against the law of my mind, taking me prisoner to the law of my sin in the parts of my body. And then in verse, at Romans chapter 8, he says, for those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on the things of the Spirit. Right? So here's the idea, that there is a new birth that's within me. I say it like this, and if you've heard me teach, you'll hear me a million times say this. That with my body, I contact the physical world, right? With my mind, I contact the intellectual world. I know how to do some math. Some math. I can read, I can process information, right? But who I really am is my spirit man, who's been reborn by God. That's the real you. He says so far as to say this, that when you pass from this life to the life and be absent from the body and to be present with God, he makes this statement that you will put off this outer garment and you'll put on a new garment. When we're with him, right? That outer garment. But he's saying, you will. Who's the you? It's my spirit man. Who I am on the inside of me. Amen? Does that make sense? I am not that goofy looking dude that I see in the mirror or that strikingly handsome guy that my wife sees. Praise God. I am the new created person on the inside of me, right? I am not just the fallible person that my flesh wants to be. So when I became born again, my spirit, man, became alive to God, 100% alive to God. He's ready to go. But my flesh did not. And not only that, my mind did not. So what the process is that I put off this flesh and I live according to the inner man on the inside of me. Does that make sense? We're all on the same page. Then he says this, Romans chapter 8, verse 13, because if you live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That is one of the most powerful statements in Scripture. That I, by my Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. Other places he says this. He says, he says, I beat my body and make it my slave. Who's the I he's talking about? My spirit man. That part of you that wants to live for God. The part of you wants to go for God. The part of you that says, I want to serve God with everything, but I want to get up early in the morning. I want to get up early in the morning and seek the Lord, but your flesh says, go back to sleep. Right? But let me just tell you, it ain't the devil. It's your flesh. Stop. I mean, the devil's really good. But it's our flesh. We have to live according to our spirit man. Quick story. I don't know how quick it is. Quick story. I remember when I was really young in the Lord. So I gave my life to the Lord when I was right at 21. And crazy story. And I had heard all of these, I can't believe I'm telling this story. I've heard all these people that would talk about, it was a book out that called, I forgot the name of the guy's name, but he had a book out and it's called, Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? Right? It was, I can't remember the guy's name. Larry Lee. If it matters, like nobody knows who Larry Lee is. But Larry Lee wrote a book called Can You Not Tarry? And it was all about how you should spend an hour in prayer every day. It's like, whoa. But I was full of zeal. I was full of, man, I was just, you know, and they also said this, they said you have to pray in the morning. You have to, that was the ideal time to pray is in the morning. Evidently, it's like the space shuttle. Remember the space shuttle, the rockets? They have a window of launch. Like if you miss your window of launch, then too bad. I guess you have to wait till tomorrow. But anyway, that's a side note. But so I was so like, oh man, I wanted, and I was living at this house with three other guys. We had this house that it was this guy's parent, and we're all like believers. We all love the Lord, and we lived in this house. It was a great environment, and so and I was 21 years old, working at a dealership, and so in the morning, so I'm like, I am not a good morning person. I am a lot better now. A lot better now. Actually, I'm the first one up always now at our house. So things change. So I remember I would set my alarm my roommate drove me crazy. He was like one of the most disciplined people on the planet. Drove me nuts. Like, I would literally be, like, walking out of my room like this in the morning, and just, like, and I'd look over at him, and he had, like, this drafting table with, like, a picture of Jesus, and, like, his Bible and his concordances and all this stuff, and he's just, like, seeking the Lord, and I just went, jerk, you know? You know, because I was so, like, I felt like such a loser Christian. So I remember, so I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to do, like, my flesh was, like, and the alarm would go off, and then that guy who's so disciplined, my alarm would go off so long, he'd go, bam, bam, Dave, wake up, God. I was like, oh my gosh, this is, so is my flesh, right? But I wanted to seek the Lord so bad. I just wanted to just get in God's presence. And so morning after morning, get up, late for work. Man, back then I had a lot of hair, and it was like all crazy, and it was like curly and awful. And so I would like go in there, like fix my hair, like go off and like probably not even shower, just go straight to work. And it was awful. And then like repent like the whole way and go, God, I'm just praying on the way to work. And feel like not even a good Christian because I'm supposed to pray for an hour every morning. But my flesh was so ruled me, right? I don't even know why I'm telling this story. It really has like nothing. But it's a good story. My flesh ruled me. Like it just like over, like, and then I'll tell you like the good part about it. So one morning I got on my knees before I went to bed. And I said, God, I said, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it takes. I said, I want to seek you. I said, God, whatever it takes to get me up and get out of bed. I said, whatever it takes, get me up. So the next morning, my alarm's going off. I look at my clock. I'm late for work. So now I'm mad. I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at my roommate. for no reason of his own, just because he's disciplined and I'm not. And I'm so mad at him. And I'm so mad at God. And I'm so mad at myself. And I was so I'm fighting all this stuff. And I'm just like, I'm getting ready. And I'm like trying to put as much gel or whatever can flatten this curls that are in my, you know. And it's like whatever I can do. And I leave that. And I go and I went, oh, I forgot my keys. Let me go. And my keys were next to my alarm clock. And I grabbed it. I looked at the alarm clock. And I was an hour before I had to leave. Dressed, ready to go. An hour before I was, an hour, mind you, before I was supposed to go to work. And my first thought was, I can get an hour of sleep. You see how your flesh is? It's amazing. I didn't that morning. There's a whole other part of that story. But the idea is this, your flesh will cause you to do stuff that your spirit man is going, I need the living water. I need the living water. And your flesh will say, no, no, no. I remember even in addiction, your flesh screams out that it wants this. And you're inside. Like I feel for people who are believers that battle addiction. Because you know the struggle on the inside of them, going, this is not who I want to be. But it's the flesh. We're called to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust. Matter of fact, Paul says, you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the deeds of the flesh. But here's what happens. It goes back to what we've been talking about. What are you feeding? If all you do is feed your flesh, what does that look like? Well, it could look like I'm not really in sin, but I don't really do anything to feed my spirit. When the average amount of scriptures that believers read a week in America is like 3 verses, and we wonder why there's no power in the church, we wonder why people criticize believers for being hypocrites, because we don't walk out what we believe. Because we're not walking by the Spirit. Because when I walk by the Spirit, I'm so glad I have this scripture down here. When I walk by the Spirit, put that Galatians chapter 5:22 up. It says that when I walk by the Spirit, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like, how many we're gonna check off the list of, I got to work on that one. It's been kind of a terrible week this week, so I had no joy. The only thing I've been feeding myself on is, whatever social media stuff I've been watching, or whatever the social media stuff they funnel to you. Patience. I'm a driver. I don't believe in patience. Oh, yes. Paul didn't mean it when he wrote that one. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And then it just wraps it all together and says self-control. Right? But then it says this, go up to verse 19. It says the work of the flesh are obvious. How many of y'all say amen? Amen. Amen. The works that he does. But he's going to go ahead and tell you what they are. Sexual immorality. Moral impurity. Promiscuity. Idolatry. Oh, yeah, we don't do that. There's some things that are more important than God. You know, I know the Falcons game is going on like right now. I'm not thinking about it at all. It's 20 to 10. How praise the Lord for people. Are we winning? Oh, yes. It may not look like a statue. An idol doesn't always look like a statue, ladies and gentlemen. It's just an illustration. That's all it was. I don't really care what the score is. Literally, this is how God will tell. We had a thing at our old church. It was on freedom. I'm so off. It was on freedom. It was on freedom. It was on teaching people how to walk free. It's one of my passions. I love helping people walk free. And we had that class. You know what time that class was? It was, people would go to lunch. It was right after class. You remember that? Remember that? It was right after class. It was right after church. You know what comes on right after church? Sundays. Football. You know when we decided to do it? The fall. Literally. No, actually, it was like 2:30. So I could go home and like watch like a little bit until like 2 o'clock. And like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. We're just going. Right? That's how God will help you with idols. Where was I? Hatreds. Strife. You thought I wasn't going to finish the list. Jealousies. Outbursts of anger. Selfish ambition. He was obviously not talking to people in America. Especially when you're talking about dissensions, factions, envy. I'm just really happy for what they have. Right. Drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. So we have the good side saying self-control, and then we have the other, anything similar. You know what? Like, this idea, like, we blame so much. Like, these are not the works of the devil. These are the works of the flesh. And what is the Bible? The Bible teaches us that we're supposed to crucify our flesh. To beat our body and make it our slave. Flesh, you don't own me. You don't rule me. And your flesh is not just, it's not just talking about like we think of self-control. We think of, well, it's just not another donut. Because I want to look good.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? I mean, another donut, we shouldn't be eating a lot of donuts. Amen? You shouldn't smoke a lot of cigarettes, you shouldn't eat a lot of donuts, right? It's all kind of in the same boat, right? Never heard that before, have you? But listen, here's the point. It's not just those things. This is talking about I am being moved and created and changed into the image of Christ. Goodness, kindness, gentleness. These are not optional for believers. These are not just suggestions. These are saying if you have the Spirit on living on the inside of you. Me and Ken O'Leary had breakfast, and I was talking about, it's amazing. It can be so discouraging because we call ourselves, well, we're Spirit-filled Christians. We're Spirit-filled believers. That means that we walk in the gifts, we believe in the gifts, we believe in the... Man, if you are full of the Spirit of God, these fruit things should be flowing out of you. But a lot of us charismatics, we just say, well, as long as the gifts are flowing, everything else is fine. I am full of the Spirit of God. That means I am full of the character and nature of Jesus. And if I'm not, I'm operating in the flesh. And I have nobody to blame but me. What am I feeding? Am I just feeding my flesh and I turn into what my old pastor would call the flesh monster? Me! It's all about me! I'm gonna watch more Netflix and Prime Video! and I'm going to feed on Marvel. Oh, that was me. I'm going to feed on all of this TV drama. What's that show called? They have all the, they do the oh yeah, but y'all are about to tell on yourselves. Wow, I heard some things. No, what's that show? Like, all these little reality TV stuff. You're like, give me everybody else's demise, everybody else's awfulness. Let me feed on that. And maybe I'll give God maybe a half a verse today. Maybe I'll listen to a worship song on the way into work. And that's how I'm going to, let me tell you, you're living in the wrong world if you think listening to one worship song on the way into work is going to feed your spirit to push out all the darkness that's around us today.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? In this culture where we're living in today, if you want to be a man or woman of God, you better be feeding yourself on the Word of God, diving into His Word, feeding every time you can get into something that's encouraging you, building yourself up. Yeah. Amen? Because if you don't, like what my wife, she always tells us about this scripture, the world will squeeze you into its mold. And then what happens is the church looks just like the world. I'm trying to be nice. And we wonder why the world doesn't want anything to do with us. People comment about Julie and I and our relationship. And they go, man, God, you guys are just so in love. You guys are just so, you know, it's just amazing. You guys are just so like, you guys got the perfect marriage. You guys must be like soulmates. You married the right one. You should have seen us when we first got married. Just a flat out mess. You know what makes this work? We put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Yeah.
You don't say the things that you want to say always. That I am kind, gentle, goodness. I look to somebody else before myself. It doesn't happen just because you married the right one. You married your soulmate. She completes me. It comes because we put God's principles. I choose to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And it's amazing because when you do, you get a marriage. It's amazing. It's awesome that we build each other up, encourage each other. We're not allowed, we just say, we tell each other, we're not allowed to have a bad day on the same day.
It's true.
It's true. We don't let each other quit.
No, that's right.
Out of love and tenderness towards each other because it's the nature of God. And the way we treat our children, the way we treat, you know, are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. But then even that, it makes it beautiful because we live in forgiveness. We don't hold on to the hurts. God, listen, guys, listen. God wants you to have the life God's intended you to have. But you have to fight for it. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come just because you come to church. It doesn't come just because you do this. It doesn't come just because it becomes because I am a spirit person first. And whenever I'm having one of those moments or one of those days, I receive my strength from Him. I dig into the, I open up. If I'm having a tough day, this morning was a tough morning, honestly. You know what I did? Go up my house. My script, my Bible's open to Psalms. What am I doing? I'm encouraging myself this morning. Reading the scriptures of Psalms, reading God's goodness towards me, reading that God's for me, not against me. I'm reading that God, that His goodness and mercy of me will follow me all the days of my life. Yeah, you're right, God, you're right. I remember. Yeah, the flesh, shut up. Your opinion, your mind, shut up. That mind, the enemy will kind of try to come in and do all weird stuff with your mind. No, in Jesus' name. I resist that in Jesus' name. I resist a bad day. Not to me you don't. Devil, not to me you don't. Flesh, and not to me you don't. World. You don't determine anything in me. Because I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. If God be for me, who can be against me? If His love causes me to overcome in every area. Amen? We put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Life will come. Let's all stand together. I have preached for a long time. It's not the, church, listen, it's not the day or the hour to be floating down the stream. It is not the time. It is not that it doesn't work in our culture to float down the stream. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life for which you were called.